Be'ez Hashem, we are now going to begin our Parsha class, Parsha Vayigash, and today it is Be'ez Teves Tovshin Pei, corresponding with the English calendar. It is December 30th, 2019. Just to give a very brief introduction to the Parsha, an overview, is a famous Mishnah I've said many a time, but I think this epitomizes the Parsha, the event, and the message that I'd like to impart. It is the last Mishnah in Perek Aleph and Perkei Avos, and the Mishnah says, Ram Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Al Shloisha Devarim Ha'olam Kayam, on three things the world exists, Al Hadin, Val HaEmes, Val HaShalom, on judgment, and on truth, and on peace. Shenema, as it says, Emes U'Mishpat Shalom, Shiftu B'Shareichem. Truth and the verdict of peace are you to adjudicate in your gates. The concept of Emes, and I would just take the liberty to explain the Mishnah, which says on three things the world stands, is not only Olam Hazeh, but also your future in Olam Haba. Now, if your person is emes, honest, in this world, it will trickle through, right through Olam Haba. We're going to begin the story in the beginning of Vayigash. It's a very dramatic story. It's one of the most dramatic stories in the Chumash. We're just to give you a little background so that we can get into the Chumash directly, into the text of the Chumash. We know that Yosef, the viceroy in Mitzrayim, has now got his brothers to bring Binyamin from Eretz Canaan to appear before him. And I may have not mentioned it last week, but this was fulfilling the first of his two dreams that he had. The dream of the bundles of wheat bowing down to him, the 11 bundles, when the 11 brothers were bowing down to him. He knew this is going to happen, and therefore he orchestrated this whole scenario that the brothers were forced to bring Binyamin down. They bowed down to him as a king, not realizing they were fulfilling the first dream, although Yosef did. And now Yosef was in the process of trying to make them do tshuva of what they have done to him by putting them, so to say, through the mill, because he planted the cup, his so-called magic cup, through his servant in the bag of Binyamin, and then told the servant after, let's say, a bit of time lapsed, to chase after them and accuse them for stealing the cup. And he would start looking for the cup in the oldest one, and then finally get to the youngest one, where he would pull out the very cup that he himself put in and accuse them of stealing the cup. And he said, whoever has the cup has to come back to the king and become a servant of the king. Naturally, this was a suicide threat to Yaakov Avinu, because if Yaakov Avinu would not have Binyamin, Binyamin was his lifeline to exist in this world. And they all knew that, so he put it in the them in a situation that they were really uptight. And they were now facing Yosef, the viceroy of Mitzrayim, as he's accusing them of having stole, or have Binyamin having stole the cup, and the Binyamin's going to have to stay. So who was going to defend Binyamin? None other than Yehuda. Yehuda put himself, his Olam Hazeh and his Olam Haba on the line. Because he said to his father, I promise you that I will bring him back alive, and I'll present him to you. If not, I will lose everything. Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba. So now Yehuda is now defending Binyamin, and in essence he's defending himself. And now we're going to read some of the story of the parasha, and we'll see how this brings out the sentiments, the message, and the anxiety that's going to be taking place right now. So let's read on. Page 250, Pasuk Yudches, the very, very beginning of the parasha. Vayigash of Yehuda. Yehuda comes and approaches Yosef, Yomim, and he says, Be Adoni, I beg you, my master, Yidabit Na'avdecha Dovah Be'osni Adoni, let it be spoken in your servant a word in the ears of my master. Do not be insulted in your servant, referring to himself, Yehuda, because you are really as Paro, which he was insinuating that just like Paro doesn't keep his rules, because Paro goes and made rules that a slave can't be a king, and here everyone knew that Yosef was once a slave and he became a king. So just like you're following the same rules of Paro. Paro can't keep his rules, and then he made this man Yosef a king, which is you. He didn't know that they were talking to Yosef directly. They knew he was once a slave. You're also not keeping your word. You said you only want to put your eye on Binyamin. You want to be sure that he's around. You want to be sure that we're not spies. We did that, and we told you all about it. So now we're going to move on with the story, where the story goes out. It says, you were told that we can't take our son, our brother Binyamin, because he's attached to our father. The father has only one living child from his wife who he loved, Rachel. And if you'll take away Binyamin, since the other one is not here, you will literally cause him to die. And all you said is that you don't come back to this country to buy food unless you bring down Binyamin. And we asked our father to bring him, allow him to come, and he was extremely reluctant, but I promised my father that I will bring him back. Now, let me be in place of him. Let me be in place of him. So I'm a better servant. Let him go back to his father, and let me be here. And anyway, the message goes back and forth. Yosef was stubborn, no, he's going to stay. And there started this an exchange of words. And Yosef knew from his boyhood years that when the Yehuda ever got angry, and I must have said it at another shir and a year ago, or two years ago, in Paris of Yigash, there were certain signs that you can tell that if Yehuda got angry, it was very, very dangerous. You can see the hair on his chest pop through all of his garments. And when that hair would appear, then you knew your life was in danger, because Yehuda was capable of doing anything. And also his right eye would drop not a tear, but blood, then you know that his wrath has reached a peak. There's nothing in the world that can stop Binyamin, Yehuda, from killing anybody. So Yosef was petrified, and he called for reinforcement, and everybody, come quickly, I need servants to go help me. And 300 of his most capable warriors came rushing to his aid to try to protect Yosef. And as soon as Yehuda saw them coming, he gave a shout, a roar. And all of a sudden, the vibrations of his voice twisted their heads backwards and crippled them for life. And Yosef saw that this is getting very bad, because here his warriors are now crippled, and now Yehuda's anger is intensifying. As that was moving on, you can see that at that point, Yehuda called his brothers and says, "I want you, Naphtali, count the entrances of Mitzrayim. And quickly, Naftali, who is a very quick brother, came back in an instant. He said, I counted, there are right now 12 entrances. He says, Yehuda says, I will take three. I will take three entrances, each one take one. And we will destroy Egypt. At that point, Yosef knew this was the end of the line. He could not keep his identity a secret any longer. At that point, he quickly called for all of his servants to leave his chamber. And they said, Your Majesty, are you sure you want to do this? You're putting your life in danger. This man and this whole group of Jews are madmen. You're putting your life in their custody. They'll kill you on the spot without us here. Yosef said, I want you to leave this chamber immediately. Because he knew what he was going to do. He's going to reveal himself, and as a result of that, he would embarrass his brothers immeasurably. And he didn't want that to happen. Finally, his brothers were alone with him. And now let's read on a little bit further. We're going to turn to page 252.
Let's get started.
Pasuk Aleph, Perek Mem Hei Pasuk Aleph. V'lo Yachol Yosef L'his Apek L'chol Hanitzavim Olav. And Yosef could not hold himself back before all those who were standing by him. V'yikra Hotziu Kol Ishmei Eloi. And he called to everyone who was in his chamber to leave. V'lo amad ish ito, and no man should stood by b'his vada Yosef alechav. At the time when Yosef revealed his identity to his brothers, so you can now feel the tension. Yosef is going to reveal to his brothers who he is. His brothers are about to kill this king. Yosef saw the signs of destruction on Yehuda. Yehuda demanded to count the entrances and destroy Egypt. The tension was thick enough you can feel it with your thumb. And now he raises his voice. And this was what happened. Pasuk Beis. Vayitain es kolo bivchi, and Yosef cried aloud. He raised his voice and cried. Vayishma Mitzrayim, and Egypt outside could hear. Vayishma beis Paro, and it could be heard in the house of Paro. Vayomi Yosef el achiv, and Yosef said to his brothers, Ani Yosef. I am Yosef, the one who you sold. Ha'od avichai? Is my father still alive? People can have. His brothers could not answer him. Ki nivhalu mipanav, because they were confounded from his face. They were shocked. They jumped back with like a whiplash effect. Going with a car at 100 kilometers into a brick wall.
Did the tension lower?
Huh?
Did the tension lower?
But no, but now there was a different feeling.
Oh, okay.
The feeling of tremendous shame and tremendous disappointment in what they have done to Yosef. They are facing the person who they tried to kill. They're facing the person who they sold as a slave. And he's not only not a slave, but he's the viceroy of Egypt who is supplying food for all of the Middle East. Let's read on. They couldn't even be next to him. They jump back. from shock. And Yosef said to his brothers, Gishuna alai, come close to me, Vayigashu. And they did come close. Vayomer, what the Rashi explains that he showed he was a had a bris, that nobody in Egypt has brisen, but they're all Gentiles. And he had a bris. And he spoke to them in Hebrew, this time without a interpreter. Vayomer, ani Yosef, achichem, I am Yosef, your brother, asher mechartem moisi mitzrayim, which you have sold me to Egypt. Va'alta now alteotsu, do not be saddened. Va'yicha be'enechem, then you shall not be upset in your eyes. Ki machartem, you see that you have sold me, hayno here. Ki lemichya shalachan elokim lefnechem. But for a sustainer, Hashem has sent me before you. So this is about where we're going to get into Parsha before I elaborate on a very important medrash. This was a shock of their lives. They thought for 22 years that they were doing a mitzvah, and now for 22 years they are doing an aveira. They had judged him to be killed for the reasons that they thought were justified and reasonable.
That's the Yetzer
Hara
playing tricks?
That was because they had felt that Yosef was trying to exclude them from Klal Yisrael, that Yosef tried to push them out of the Jewish family, the blessed family that was supposed to bring forth a blessed nation, because they saw a pattern. Avram had two children, Yishmael and Yitzchak. Yishmael was pushed to the side and Yitzchak took over. Yitzchak had two children. Yitzchak had Yaakov and Esav. Esav was pushed to the side. Now Yaakov became the leading child. Yaakov had 12 children. And he saw with the Ruach HaKodesh that they were supposed to have a holy nation from 12 children. And now Yosef is trying to take over. He was telling Lashon Hara about them. Yosef was telling dreams of greatness, of kingship, with the two dreams, one with the bundles of wheat bowing down, then the stars and the moon all bowing. There's all signs that this was no good. On top of that, the father gave him a kisonas pasim, a coat of many colors. He taught him all of the Torah that he learned from Shem Va'eber and not the other brothers. There was an obvious sign that something was going wrong. And they came to a decision that this person was trying to drive them out of Klal Yisrael. But now they all saw that their decision was incorrect. Now, but let's move on over here. This is very, very important.
Where were they going to get 12 tribes from them? How'd the brothers figure that out?
So maybe they would have more children come from themselves. This I don't know. But the bottom line is that this was a decision made, I quote, a Beis Din, and this had been their decision at the time. So now, there at the time when he said, I need Yosef, there's a very famous Medrash Rabbah, which I want to quote and dwell on. The Medrash Rabbah says, when he said, I need Yosef, this is what the Medrash says. Listen here carefully. I'm quoting from the Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron Cutler Zatzal. I'd like to say some of his thoughts and his insights of the parasha. Yosef katnan shel shvatim haye. Yosef was from the smallest of the shvatim. V'lo yachlu achav la'amo b'toch hachaso. And his brothers couldn't stand by his reproof. Right? All he said, two words, ani Yosef, and they were petrified. That's all he said. And after he said, ani Yosef, they were shocked to the point they couldn't talk, they couldn't stand, they jumped away, and of course they were tremendously ashamed. Says the Medrash, Kishi Yavai HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'yochiach L'cholecha L'fi Mashahu, when it'll come a time when we all be put up to the heavenly tribunal, and we have to stand before the Almighty's court, and Hashem will be speaking to us individually, Allah has kama v'kama, how much more so will we be petrified? All Hashem will say two words, Ani Hashem. The same way Yosef said, Ani Yosef, and we will be petrified. Allah has kama v'kama. How much more so? The Medrash says, from here we have an insight to what's going to happen in heaven. Yosef said two words, and the brothers, tzaddikim, couldn't stand before him. When Hashem says, Ani Hashem, what are we going to answer? So, he brings that over here from Rabbi Yosef, Dov Soloveitchik, naming some other Gedolim, to understand why was that such a powerful speech, reproof, that Yehuda and all of the brothers were confounded. Just saying two words. Why was that so powerful? And he brings that over here in the Mishnah, Rabbi Aaron, a beautiful insight. Yehuda complained. We told you, we can't take Binyamin away from his father. If we separate Binyamin from his father, father will not survive. He will die. Have pity on his father. Have pity. Let Binyamin go back. I'm a better servant. How could you? Now, this is the second time they said it. They said to him, we can't take Binyamin. We're going back a few months when he said, he accused them for spies. He said, the only way I'll take that accusation off the mark is only if you bring Binyamin. They said, but we can't separate Binyamin from the father. Have mercy. He said, you don't bring Binyamin, don't come for food. Fast forward 3-4 months. They came now to the father. They said, we have to go for food. But they said, we can't. We can't, because we're not going to be, if you don't bring Binyamin with us. Finally, they let Binyamin go. And now Binyamin appeared. He saw Binyamin, and now he wants to take him back. Yehuda is appealing to Yosef, you're going to kill my father. How could you do this? Don't you have any mercy on an old man? I'm a better servant. Take me instead. Says Yosef, Ani Yosef. I am Yosef. And after he said Yosef, Ha'od Avi Chai, is my father still alive? You complained that the reason why we can't separate Binyamin, you can't separate Binyamin from, because you're going to create, put such misery in your father Yaakov, that he's going to die. Why didn't you think of Paro, excuse me, think of Yaakov when you sold me? What will father think then without me around? Now you talk the talk of mercy, of father, the father's going to die, and then you weren't worried about father dying? Now you're worried about father dying? Now you're worried about father not containing himself because of the shock? And why didn't you think about father 22 years ago? Ani Yosef, Ha'od Avi Chai. Is my father still alive? Could he still be alive? How could he have been able to be alive with all the suffering? The very argument that you're telling me why Binyamin must go back is the very argument I have against you, why you sold me. Why was that not on your agenda? And therefore, the Rav Aaron Kotel Zatzal explains in the Sefer Mishnah's Rabbi Aaron, this is why we say, if Yosef said two words, I need Yosef, and the brothers couldn't stand in front of him, because this was going through their dialogue. When Hashem speaks to us and says, I need Hashem, he's going to be asking the same thing too.
He doesn't have the money to be able to pay.
No. I'm God. I'm God only when you need me. I'm God only when you want to talk to me. And how about I'm God when there are mitzvahs to be fulfilled and you disregard me? How am I? I'm also Ani Hashem. Hashem's going to say Ani Hashem when we come up to heaven. Ani Hashem. What are we going to answer the Father in heaven? What are we? Oh, you say, but have mercy on me. But why didn't you think about Ani Hashem when you were doing things when you shouldn't have been doing things? When you're looking at things you shouldn't be looking at? And when we are engaged in activities, whether honest or maybe not so honest, shady activities. And at that time you didn't think about Hashem. Only now when you're standing in front of the tribunal, now you think about Hashem. That's why the Medrash says, when we stand before Hashem, and Hashem will say two words, and Hashem will also be confounded with fear and with terror.
The same reaction.
Just like Yosef was telling the brothers, now you're talking about mercy of the Father? You didn't think about mercy of the Father when you sold me? Hashem is saying, now you're thinking about Ani Hashem, I'm Hashem. Now, where was I when you were doing X, Y, and Z? When you knew there's something wrong, you should have been thinking about me too. That's the message, what he's trying to say. Every Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we say the special tefillah in the Sana Tokef. It's a famous prayer in Musaf. Talks about the tremendous, serious moment of Yom Hadin, where Hashem causes every person to pass by him and be judged with a year of blessing or the reverse. And after the person is going to be judged, his judgment, you will say, Yofa Danta, Yofa Chayafta. It was correct that you judged. It was appropriate that I was guilty. I agree. What does that mean? I once heard this medrash, which is really powerful. That when a person comes up to the world, Olam HaEmes, in the world to come, you will be sitting in front of a similar video screen. We'll use the term video because these are things that we relate to. And Hashem is going to say, I want you to see your life. And I want you to make a judgment. Now, at the time, he says, I want you to see, and he doesn't say it's him that he's looking at. He takes away a memory that what he sees over there is actually himself. He says, I'm going to show you an episode, a real life episode of a person's life, right? He's talking to him about him, but he takes away his memory. And he tells him, I want you to see exactly what you see, and you judge this action or that action, and tell me what you think should be done. And he goes through every different part of his life. Some were very nice, some very righteous, some were very not nice. And he tells him, tell me your judgment. Oh, for this he should be brought at this, and for this he should be brought at that. And for this he didn't do this mitzvah, and on this he did that terrible. He got a friend into trouble. He should be indicted for this, and he should be indicted for that. And there was sometime there was a part of it he stole money, or he cheated somewhere, somebody in a bank account, or he did. And he's judging this judgment on himself without knowing it's himself.
One who kills Bishop.
And he said, oh, this person should definitely be punished. And all of a sudden, after the scenario is over, Hashem goes ahead and puts his memory back. He says, you know who's that on the screen? He says, yes, it's me. Well, do you know what you said about yourself? You said, this is how I should be punished, and this is how I should be judged, and this is how I'm going to be met in court. This is what I've judged on my own life. And then you can't whittle out of that. Because in heaven there is no secrets and there is no sheker, there is no nonsense. It is what it is. And that's why the Medrash says Yosef was from the smaller Shvatim, and he said, "Ani Yosef," and all of the brothers were petrified. Imagine when we stand up before the tribunal, Hashem says, "Ani Hashem." What will we have? A lot to be petrified. We have here something that we have to recognize. We live in constant contradiction with ourselves. And I think this is something we have to walk away from this parsha. Listen, we're human. We have challenges. And we are weak at many moments. But we have to know our job in this world is to break our bad midos and to strive for perfection. It's not an overnight procedure. It's a lifetime avoda. It's a lifetime goal. And what should I tell you? It's something that we should always keep uppermost in our minds. We should always try to be growing in our lives, to be, improve ourselves. We have to understand that one way we can recognize our goals and how we can improve ourselves is only by recognizing the truth. If we're going to always rationalize and try to say, oh, this is okay for this reason, today it's okay for another reason, and this is not really what God meant, and we try to pass the buck, so to say. And we don't want to face the emes straight away. So then we're going to end up misleading ourselves, and we will not reach our goal in our lifetime. Remember what I started off saying? You said, Ashleisha devarim ha'olam kayim, and three things the world exists: al din, on judgment; al emes, on truth; and on shalom. You got to be honest. If you make a mistake, you have to be honest. David HaMelech, who is greater than David HaMelech? He made a mistake with the story of Bathsheba, where he lived with a woman who you can consider married, was married to somebody else, to Uriah Hachiti, but he was able to whittle out of it by saying he has given his wife a get, a divorce, going to war. That was what they used to do in David HaMelech's time. Every soldier gave a document of divorce to his wife. In case he doesn't come back, he might be lost somewhere. He might have been captured and wouldn't know, so the wife would never be able to remarry. So legally they have, but in the meantime, David HaMelech, as the Gemara explains, he had been overwhelmed by the taiva, the desire to live with this Bathsheba, and it was a terrible thing. But he admitted he did something wrong, because at the end of the day, Uriah Hachiti, if he would have come back from war, then it would have come out that David HaMelech lived with an Eshet Ish, a married woman. So how did David HaMelech get out of that? It was a terrible thing. He sent a message to Yoav, the chief general, to put Uriah on the front lines. And by nature, the natural thing would be he probably would be killed. He would be killed, so therefore Bathsheba is not a Eshet Ish. But he admitted he did a terrible thing. He was honest. And with honesty, you could become a David HaMelech. If you're going to be honest with yourself, remember, we're talking about trying to grow and be able to make yourself reach high levels. David HaMelech is still David HaMelech, even after having committed this relationship with Bathsheba. Even though he admitted his fault, he did tshuva, and he's the famous David HaMelech. Another person, which you're all familiar with, Yehuda and Tamar, also the story with them. We spoke about this two weeks ago. He admitted in front of a basin that he lived with Tamar. And what's the result of that admission? Did Yehuda go down in greatness? He became greater. Out of Yehuda comes Zera Mashiach. When you pursue MS, when you pursue truth, you're pursuing greatness. But you got to be honest, you got to have to admit it, and you have to want to correct it. With admission, is no rationalization. If you admit the truth, then you say the emes, and you live up to doing tshuva, and then you correct the evil, and then you grow. We are here in this world to grow. The Vilna Gaon writes that our purpose in this, we are here in this world to break our bad midos. And we're going to always be challenged, and prepare yourself for this, because that is the tachlis ha'odom, that is the purpose why we're here. It's not a freebie. We're not here for a free ride. We have to work, and we have to grow, and we are familiar with the pasuk in Mishlei, Sheva yipol tzaddik v'kom. A tzaddik falls 7 times. It's not literally, it could be more than 7, it could be 17. A tzaddik falls 7 times. A rasha only falls once. A tzaddik falls many times because he picks himself up. Like a David HaMelech. Like a Yehuda. You pick yourself up and you grab the bull by the horns and we continue to grow. Life is a challenge. And with that, the meaning of the Mishnah is so much clearer. On 3 things the world exists. Not only this world, but Olam Haba. So if you can come up to Olam Haba saying, yes, I have failed in X, Y, and Z, but I've done tshuva to overcome my inclination, I have done this and that to improve my behavior, I've given a lot of time and effort to this particular problem that I've lived through, and Hashem will look at that as a redeeming attribute to give each individual a blessed judgment. Let's not forget, this week's parasha is extremely, extremely relevant to all of us. And we have to be strong. If we were to be strong and not give in to our Yetzirah, expect ups and downs. Expect. Now, I like to give a marshal. A cardiogram. Ever see what a cardiogram looks like? You ever look at the? It goes up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. What's that a sign? There's ups and there's downs. It's a sign that you are a healthy person, that the heart is going correct, up and down, up and down. What would happen if the cardiogram was just one line going nowhere? That's not a good sign. Going up and down is a beautiful sign that we have challenges. So once you have succeeded in a challenge, and you have overcome, let's say you're challenged with Lashon Hara, then you're going to be challenged with a different problem, with a situation of honesty in business. And again, it's going to go up and down, until you overcome that challenge, and you have a different challenge, maybe with Kashrus, or maybe with Shabbos. Understand? Up and down. This is life. This is a Jew. And this is where we walk away from this parasha. Parasha Vayigash is the parasha of how a Jew has to prepare for his Olam Haba by recognizing that if we try to grow and improve ourselves in whichever level we are at the moment, Hashem will help you through. The same way Hashem helped the brothers, and finally they were united with the brothers, were united with Yosef, and they became, Baruch Hashem, a united, powerful, happy family. Have a wonderful week ahead of you.